Yeah, these are great lessons that your pastor put together. It's a, I mean, you go from the very basics and get a little deeper. And like I said, I think Sunday, if you were here for every lesson, you learned a lot. If you, you know, what I always do, and I used to do when I was training for the ministry and then sitting under Pastor Blue, I'd go home and I'd go over my notes again. Shut the TV off. Got quiet around here. In fact, I didn't have a TV, but so I didn't have any temptation. But anyway, I went over them every service. Went back home and went over them. I encourage you to do that. So tonight we are on forgiveness, and we have a new sound system, by the way. Can you tell? And so we might have some glitches in it, Brother Joe told me. So, you know, he'll be ironing those out while I'm speaking up here. All right, so forgiveness is what we're talking about tonight. This is lesson number 5. And so I read a lot of this, you know, just like the pastor, and have you fill in the blank, and I'll make some comments here and there. I'd had you turn to Psalm 41, and we'll look at that in just a second. The introduction is, forgiveness is one of God's greatest attributes. How a holy God would forgive sinful man is something that will continue to baffle and amaze the human mind. When you think about it, and we'll talk a lot about it, I think, that tonight. But God in his love sent Jesus Christ to be an acceptable sacrifice. As forgiveness is one of God's greatest attributes, it is also one of the greatest attributes a Christian can possess. To forgive is to pardon, to remit and overlook an offense. Say it again. To forgive is to pardon, to remit and to overlook an offense. Remit means this, by the way. It means to surrender the right of punishing a crime. And that's what God does, because we deserve the wrath of God. So anyway, going on, this is what the Lord did for you when you trusted him as your Savior. In this lesson, we will discuss the importance of forgiveness and the power it can have in your life when you learn to forgive. And we will cover 4 directions of forgiveness. Number 1, God's forgiveness is toward man. Forgiveness for salvation. God's forgiveness toward man, and then A, forgiveness for salvation. Although our sin affects us and those around us, ultimately our sin is against the God that created us. That's what Psalm 41, if you'd look at that, had you turn there, Psalm 41, and look at verse 4. He says, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Boy, I pray that a lot every day. Every day. Have mercy on me, Lord. Be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. And so all sin is against the Lord, our God. The salvation of our soul is dependent upon us recognizing that our needs need to be forgiven. Our sins, excuse me, need to be forgiven by God. Daniel 9:9 says, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. God's forgiveness for our eternal salvation is offered to us on the basis of Christ's blood sacrifice. By the way, does everybody have a copy of the lesson? Okay, good. And God's forgiveness for our eternal salvation is offered to us on the basis of Christ's blood sacrifice. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption, say the next 3 words. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Your NASV and your NIV take that phrase out, through the blood. That was Charles Swindles said the NASV is the rock of biblical honesty. And it's a piece of trash. and changes the Bible, takes about 36,000 words out and changes some of the major doctrines in the Bible. Okay, that was free. You get a lot of free stuff around here. And he says, Ephesians 4:32, and be kind, the good verse, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God's forgiveness is a free gift. Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Because it is a gift, man cannot claim to possess it until he receives it. A gift is not yours personally until you received it from the person offering it to you. That makes sense. This is why all men are not automatically saved. Many have chosen to reject the gift of God's forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation. You know what you can say to that? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you. When you get a gift, I like to give out money, but stay away, okay? I do. Like, see preachers, young couples get married and just hand them a Benji. And you don't have to do that. And you want to give it back. No, it's a gift. I tell them, just say thank you. So learn to say thank you. And we ought to be just thankful that we're even here tonight. So we go on. Forgiveness, John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Forgiveness is fellowship. Once we are saved, we enter into a new relationship with God. Ain't that great? Amen. And we are his children, and he alone is our Father. And, a lot of you probably were raised as single parents and didn't have a father. Well, you got one now. Amen. He's a father of the fatherless. I didn't have one to raise me, God became my father when I was 30 years old. Amen. It's likewise with a number of you, I'm sure, as believers. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, child of God. You're into God's family. Even to them that believe on his name. As believers, our sin nature has not been eradicated. And that's what blows a lot of people away and gets them discouraged, because I thought I'm saved now, I won't sin anymore. Yeah, welcome to reality. And because you're going to sin, because you have... I was talking to a guy today over at Menards, and I gave him a gospel tract, and he said he had received Christ as his Savior. He was one of the workers, a young man, and I said, when you trusted Jesus Christ, and people don't have the assurance of eternal life unless you get in this book and get in a good church and get the teaching on it. Do I hear him? Amen. Thank you. I said, you see, when you got saved, Christ's spirit came into you. But I said, but you still got you in you. And that's the rascal. he got it. It's sad the biblical ignorance that's around. You're in a good place, boy. You are a blessed people. So as believers, our sin nature has not been eradicated. You have dual natures. Now our sin now affects our fellowship with God. However, it will never affect our sonship. God does not, go back on his promise, but another word I can't find. Doesn't come to mind. We still need forgiveness to cleanse us in our daily life and to maintain fellowship. Fellowship with God. 1 John 1:7-9, and you ought to memorize these verses. This one especially. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That has to be a daily washing. The Lord washed their feet. And that's a daily thing. Don't go at night, before you go to bed, laying in bed, just start confessing sin. And I have lists of things, and I've told you that before, and I have a good list that you could use as a pattern. But all right, man's forgiveness toward man, I better move on. Not doing too bad. The Lord has commanded that we forgive others. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times. So it's continually at all times. You forgive people. You ought to do it ASAP when an offense occurs. Get that? Do not procrastinate. If you procrastinate, you know, you'll always find a reason. You just keep adding up a bunch of reasons not to. Did you get that? Yeah, so get it done right away. And it's humbling, of course, but that's okay. Humbling is good for us. We're proud people. And I am, anyone know that. I got a problem with pride. I know I don't have much to be proud about, but I am anyway. And forgive others for your sake. Oh, excuse me, man's last paragraph of the previous reference. Man's forgiveness will never compare to that of God, the Lord's, but Christians ought to be very forgiving people. That's what I thought. I thought Larry Shagun, you know, because I stole that CB. If I go back, Christians, you know, they're forgiving people. He'll let me go, you know. We'll talk about that in just a second. But I still had to pay the penalty, you know. You kill somebody, you can be forgiven for it, but you still got to pay the penalty. Yeah. And when someone, forgive others for your sake. This is a great lesson. I love it. I went over it a number of times. When someone sins or trespasses against you, you should forgive them in your heart for your sake. Do not wait for them to approach you and ask for forgiveness. So there's a couple of sides to forgiveness here. You must forgive them in your heart so that you don't become bitter towards them. I got some of my siblings in, never forgive my dad and others, and divorces. You're the only one. Your bitterness doesn't affect them. It affects you. And look at the thing. Look at the verse. Hebrews 12:15. You ought to memorize it. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Because God gives you grace. He'll give you the strength and to humble yourself. But he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, now watch this, springing up, trouble you, and hope it does, but watch this, and thereby many be defiled. So you're gonna make people miserable around you. Yeah. So it's very important. We keep the record as clean as we can. And God can work in our life more when we're, we got rid of some of that sin. Well, if you fail to forgive them in your heart, you will only end up hurting yourself and others. And ironically, even if you did nothing wrong, if you do not forgive, you will be in the wrong. My family never learned the importance of that. And notice verse number C, or letter C. How are we doing? Yeah. And forgive others for their sake. A lot of times people are waiting for that. And when there has been a trespass, Scripture teaches that we should go to our brother or sister in Christ and attempt to make things right. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. When I was out in Seattle, before I went on staff with Pastor Blue, I worked down at the Seattle Times. And Saturday nights, go down there at 8 and stuff in papers. Stuffing the funnies and the ads in the main body of news and all that, and then putting them on a conveyor belt from 8 to about 2 or 3. And anyway, had a couple guys down there. We had Bible study on our on our break. They were from the church. One of the guys' brother, his name was Jack. He had a son, his nephew. He provoked him because Jack had a daughter that was in my youth group. And I'd take the youth group on trips, you know, and I took them down to Tacoma in the bus, and she wanted to ride in her car, drive her car. I says, no, you're not going to. You're going to ride in the bus with everybody else. I says, and so Jack, he came up to me, and I said to her, you want to ride in your car so you can smoke your cigarettes. It's an hour and a half down there. And so he came up to me, and I told him that, Jack. So he provoked his nephew who worked there to come up and try to start a fight with me. And he did it a number of times. Finally, I went to him, I put my hand out, I says, let's be friends. I forgive you for what you've been doing. And guess what? At this meeting out there in Seattle, he came up to me. He's still out in the area. Came up to me. He'd have never done that before. And we're friends. Haven't seen him for 50 years or more, or 50. But get it right. Go and tell him. Look at it. He says, moreover, thy brother shall trespass against you. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. If they are in the wrong, forgive them. Say, I forgive you. They need to know that they are forgiven. I forgive you. If you're wrong, admit it. Admit it. If there are others who know about the situation, they as well need to know the things that have been made right between us. And you know, for the guy that gets forgiven, it takes the pressure off. He may be under great conviction and want to get it right, but he doesn't have the guts to do it. Anyway, 2 Corinthians, that makes sense? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 7 and 8. So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him. And lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Lift up the fallen. Amen. All right, comfort him. Forgiving others, turn to page 31. Forgiving others does not mean that you immediately trust them. Amen? I forgive you, I just don't trust you. And that's true in many cases, you know? And trust takes time to build, and in some cases cannot be rebuilt. Forgiveness can take place in a moment. It's just like, I love everybody, but I don't like everybody. Amen. We ought to be able to forgive our worst enemy. Forgive because of Christ and forgive by Christ. It can be very hard to forgive. However, it helps when we remember how much Christ has forgiven us. Every word, every action, every image, every thought. God knows them and has forgiven you. Can you not forgive someone considering that? Thank you, Pastor, for putting that in there. Ephesians 4, 31 and 2, let all bitterness with wrath and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's a good one. I've told you this before. You ought to be, old preacher Talmadge was his name, turn of the century, not this last century, turn of the 20th, well, whenever, 1900s. And he said, be kind to everyone you meet because everyone's having a rough time. You don't know what that person is going through. So, and we just pile it on with some this or that. Forgiveness is often only accomplished by yielding to Christ in you. 2 Corinthians 2:10 says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, I forgave it I in the person of Christ. All right, third, man's forgiveness toward himself. There are things we wish we could undo. Welcome. Amen. Is that not true? Boy, oh boy. Those things can haunt you. Yeah. In a lot of things in life. Sins of our past crop up in our minds. I wrote in my notes, tell me about it. And cause us to feel as if we are unworthy to be forgiven. Christians often struggle with this. I have. And it is likely that you will too. This person you should have witnessed to, or, you know, just maybe a rude word you said to someone. So many things. Man must learn to forgive himself. It will be helpful to remember the following truths. We are not forgiven because of our worthiness. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. No one of us is worthy of being forgiven. We know that. Thank you for reminding us. But thank God we are forgiven because of God's goodness and plenteous mercy. We are forgiven because he is a God who is full of compassion, who is gracious and long-suffering. After confession, God promises forgiveness. Here's a verse you ought to memorize also. You probably have. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our faithful and God and just God promises forgiveness. Once forgiven, we are forgiven. That's it. Put a period there. Ephesians 4:32, again, memorize it. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Do not drag yourself into the past. I'll bet a lot of you think about that. You know, I know I do. And, you know, we're all men of like passions. And where am I? Do not drag yourself into the past and view yourself in a way that God does not. When doubting, put your faith in God's word and believe it. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You understand that verse, don't you? If you keep going, if you go east, you're always going to be going east. If you go north, you're eventually going to go south. You know that. It's good. Amen. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I tell that to some of your friends that are just a little messed up on eternal security and things like that. When they trusted Jesus Christ, and I believe a lot of them, you know, in various denominations, community churches, or charismatic churches, and whatever. But they don't have that assurance of that eternal security. Well, when you ask God to forgive you, look what he did. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Believe the word. All right. All right. I, Psalm Isaiah 43:25, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. There you go. Some more scripture. Are you getting it? Good, thank you. When God forgives, he removes, blots out, and even forgets. Why would we perpetually remind ourselves and the Lord of things he has chosen to forget? That's pretty good. I didn't think of that. Your pastor did. And he put this together. Good job. And when we doubt his forgiveness, we are sensually calling God a liar. Don't trust your feelings of guilt or the lies of the devil. Believe what God says. I get ahead of myself a lot. And now fourthly, man's forgiveness toward God. Many Christians get upset by what God has allowed to happen in their lives and hold a grudge against them. Have you known anybody like that? You know, they blame God for what happened in their life, a divorce, a death of a toddler, just a lot of things, tragedies. And they hold a grudge against him. I've known them. And they're hard to deal with. You got to get them to believe the book and what God says. If you ever get to this point, you will need to forgive God. You are not forgiving him for his sake. There's nothing that God has done wrong. You are forgiving him for your sake. It's like earlier. And so you don't get bitter. Get rid of that. There's nothing. You are forgiving him for your sake because you have become bitter against him over things you don't understand. To make the relationship right with God, you should, number one, confess that you have been upset and distant from him. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to thee, or to you. And cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It's possible to get angry with God and not be completely conscious of it. This is one of the reasons why it's important that we periodically examine ourselves, give ourselves a little test, and ask God to search our hearts. Paul said to the Corinthians, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And then this is a great verse, and I think you ought to memorize that too. You got a lot of memorization tonight. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Now, I may have said this before. That's where I stop. And let God search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then I get to confessing, and that takes a while. And then I say the rest of the verse, and lead me in the way. Because God can't lead you if you got sin burdening you and clouding and bumps in the road and potholes and all that kind of stuff. And see if there be any way. And lead me in the way everlasting. B, accept that his way is best, even if you don't understand it. Amen. Behold, Job said, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I like that, but. Amen? Amen. The silence of God. Pastor Blue wrote a little booklet on that. Out of Job, the silence of God, when God's silent. And you just don't know what's going on, you don't understand it. But he knoweth the way that you take. And when he hath tried you, ye shall come forth as gold. Afflictions are good for us. They really are. They remind us of our transgressions many times. That's in Job too. C. Yield yourself to God and trust him again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Amen, amen. And lean not unto thine own understanding. That's one of the first verses I memorized. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Yeah. Develop the long look. 2 Corinthians 4:8 and verse 17 also. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I like that. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Good. Persecuted, but we know we're not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. We're just here for a moment. Really. And that's just becoming more real to me the older I get. My moment's just about up. And he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. I got a message called Disappointed But Not Discouraged. You know? The Apostle Paul demonstrated the right attitude for it. It has been said, outlook determines outcome. Amen. That's good attitude. Let's keep a good attitude and let's keep in the book and keep close to God. I love our church. I love you. I love this. I love your. I thank God for your faithfulness to God, to the Lord. And I pray for you that God bless you real well, and your children and your families. And let's move on for the Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you, God, for your mercy and your love to us. Can't thank you enough. I trust, God, that this lesson would have been helpful to someone, and a lot of people. I pray to go home, some of them, and have a good fessing up time and get rid of, as you remind them, as much sin as they can, and just place it under the blood and leave it there. And give them that assurance, Lord, that you've forgotten those things. You've remitted them. And you're not going to punish them for it. God bless now the rest of the activities of this evening, and get Pastor Daniel home safe, him and Silas, Saturday. And they're going to be tired. And then he's going to get up in this pulpit Sunday and feed us again. And I pray, bless him in a mighty way, his family that stands by him, dear Lord. Thank you for those things. Dismiss us with thy blessing, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.